I was told that this speaker has held every position in that group. She has done everything imaginable that can be done in a group but one. And she admitted to me she has not as yet handled the broom. Except at home. I don't know what she meant by that. But I am told that besides being an excellent speaker, she is an intrepid 12-step worker and is responsible for the greatest number of people in the Manhattan group, not only being there, but staying there. And she has the tenacity of a bulldog when it comes to a pigeon. But to look at this lady, you'd hardly think so. Meekness and mildness all rolled up in one. I can only think of the words of the song, "I know a lady sweet and kind, was never face so pleased my mind." Dorothy Burroughs.
After an introduction like that, I hardly know what to say. Mr. Toastmasters, members and friends of AA, I'm very honored to be here tonight to speak on Bill Wilson's 20th anniversary. And I'm humbly grateful for the grace of God and to our founder and to each and every member of AA. My name is Dorothy Burroughs, and I am an alcoholic. I don't know whether I was born an alcoholic. I don't know exactly why I became an alcoholic. But that's unimportant, to me at least. The fact that I am an alcoholic, and that I can recognize that fact, and that I can admit it and accept it, is the important thing. I don't have a dramatic story to tell you. I don't have a story to tell you of straitjackets or DTs. I'm a simple housewife and a mother. I'm the mother of four children now. My drinking began when I was in my late teens. It was that of a girl who wanted to be one of the crowd, who wanted to be accepted. So I went along and I would take a drink or two. I could throw it off very easily because I was very young. As I grew a little older, my drinking and repeal came in. My drinking became a little more sophisticated, and I frequented the cocktail lounges, and my drinking was definitely that of a heavy social pattern. I met and married a man when I was 23 years old. I became a mother immediately. I acquired a family of two very fine, wonderful children. I think, in looking back, that I was probably not too well suited. I know and recognize with that today that my sense of values was very poor. I was a little bit bewildered by the sudden responsibility that was thrust upon me. I had in the back of my mind an idea that I would become a fine, upstanding member, a young matron of the community. But I wasn't quite willing to work at it. I had in mind that I would perhaps be a member of the parent teachers and some of the civic organizations, but I didn't put the effort into it. Instead of that, I found myself wanting to have luncheon, cocktails, dinner, and throughout the evening, only with those people who were willing to drink the amount that I wanted them to drink. The evening was always too short for me. There were danger signals along the way. I blithely ignored them. They meant very little to me at that time. There were the first few times that my husband remonstrated with me, and he suggested moderation. There were other little occasions, scenes, when I perhaps was not a very good hostess. As a matter of fact, I was a very rude one. But I ignored these things. Every once in a while, as my drinking progressed along, I would become aware of the fact that maybe I had gone overboard. So I would voluntarily go on the wagon. My wagon, consisting of no hard liquor, strictly beer and all the wine that I could consume. Believe me, I was a martyr on that wagon, too. I felt so sorry for myself. These periods never lasted very long. I could reason out, well, after all, I mean, that was a silly incident, and if so-and-so hadn't said something to me that the way they did, I would probably have been all right. But progression in alcoholism is a peculiar thing. We are fleetingly, or at least I was fleetingly aware of it from time to time, and would stop and pause, but keep right on. Some 8, 9 years ago, I found myself in the position of being a daily drinker, or further than that, of being a daily lone drinker. I found myself telling my husband that I had only had one drink when I had probably had one bottle. I found myself lying. I found myself ignoring my responsibilities as a mother. I had also, by now, two other little children. And I began to wonder what was wrong with me. My husband called my parents. My parents, many times, came to my rescue. I say they came to my rescue, and I must give you the right impression. They came to get me off the hook at home. You see, I was a protected alcoholic, and am a protected one. Now I'm protected by AA. But at that time, I was protected by my family, and by my parents, my husband. I didn't have to go out in the world and earn a living. By the force of circumstances, my children were well provided for. And I had nothing to rear up and hit me in the face, such as the loss of a job, or going to jail, or any of those things. My drinking began to be very bad. I began to want to stop drinking. And I was successful. Every once in a while, I would go on the wagon, and in 2 or 3 weeks, I would get off of the wagon. At last came the day that I decided I would go on the wagon, and nothing happened. I couldn't get on it. I tried. By this time, there was tension. That's a very mild word for what was going on in my home. There were arguments, there was tension, there was quarreling day and night. My family suggested many things. Among them, they suggested that I go away to a sanitarium. I would have no thought of that. They suggested that I go to our family doctor. I went, but didn't get very far because I didn't tell him the truth. I tried to stop drinking in every way that I could along about that point. I tried all the dodges that most alcoholics use. I tried tapering off, and that didn't work. I tried doing without, and that didn't work. Night after night, I'd walk the floor. I drank mostly during the day. Night after night, I'd walk the floor and wonder why I couldn't stop. Because, you see, by this time, I wanted to stop, really, and I couldn't. The compulsion had set in to such a degree that I couldn't win, no matter how hard I tried. There were several things along about this time that happened that jolted me, and jolted me terrifically. One, my youngest child, a 3-year-old little girl, looked at me one day as I was pouring a drink and looked up at me and with childish eyes and fear in her eyes, said, "Mommy, don't drink any more of that stuff." That had hung, because she was too little. Another time that it hit home very deeply was the time when my husband told me that he had lost all hope that I would ever be a normal person again and that I would not drink again. And that did something to me. But then a third thing that happened. Up until that time, I had always kidded myself along that eventually I was going to be able to stop. And along about that time, I sat on my kitchen step one day, and I was defeated, and I was utterly without hope. There seemed to be no way for me to go. There seemed to be nothing for me to do. In a moment of insight, or foresight, whatever you choose to call it, I saw one of two things happening. I saw death, or I saw an institution for the insane. I knew in that those few moments that my mind, my body, could not take anymore, and I was utterly left. I had not been to church since I had been quite young, very young, as a matter of fact. As I sat there that day, drunk, bewildered, confused, unable to carry on a coherent conversation with anyone, I began to feel a very strange urge, and it was stronger than my drinking urge. It was an urge to ask for help from God. I had asked help from God before, many times. I had said, "God, help me get off the hook. God, Joe, don't let Joe find my bottle. God, do this. God, do that. God, do the other thing." But I realized now that I had never truly asked God, "Help me," and meant it from my heart. I began to feel this urge. I went to a church that was not of my own religion or the one that I had been brought up in. Even though I was drinking, I felt that I had to go. It was something that was stronger than I was at that particular point. I went on many occasions. I always was very careful to try and go when there was no one else there. One day, the pastor of that church came over and asked me if he could speak to me. I told him, we went into the sacristy, and I told him that I had had this peculiar urge, that I was drawn to the church. He told me that he would be very happy to discuss my spiritual life with me. And further along in there, he could smell that I had a little trouble. He asked me about my drinking, and I said, "I know I'm an alcoholic." He said, "Now, I'll be very happy to discuss your spiritual life with you at any time. But there are a group of people." You see, Pat, there's more than one. "There are a group of people who can help you, perhaps better than I, in that direction. On your way out, there's a pamphlet called Alcoholics Anonymous." I took the pamphlet, and like a true alcoholic, I read it over and hid it, even from myself. But it was there. The germ of the idea was there. I called AA in our Manhasset group, our answering service. When they asked me to leave my name, I was frightened, and I hung up. I had been going to the dentist. This might seem like it goes off, but it doesn't really. Because I believe all this, I firmly believe it's part of a pattern and part of that answer to the prayer that I made to God. I had been going to the dentist. The dentist I had been going to knew, must have known that I had a problem, but we had never discussed it. However, one day out of a clear sky, I asked him, "Bill, do you know anything about Alcoholics Anonymous?" And he thought for a moment, and he said, well, I've heard of it, but I don't really know anything about it. My next appointment, the next day, after I was seated in the chair, Bill said, Dorothy, the most peculiar coincidence happened yesterday, just after you had left. An old patient of mine that I hadn't seen since before the war came in. I remarked how well he was looking. And with that, he said, why shouldn't I look well? I joined Alcoholics Anonymous, and it's the most wonderful thing in the world. And with that, he proceeded to tell me all about it. He left his name and said that if you, I told him about you. He left his name, and he said that if ever you wanted any further information, to call him at any time. Well, to make a long story short, I called that man. That man became my sponsor in AA. To me, I prefer and choose to believe that all these coincidences happening, the urge to go to a church, the pastor of that church coming over and talking to me, his giving me the AA pamphlet, my dentist telling me about his old patient, I prefer to believe that this was God's answer to that honest prayer that I made. I started AA, joined, came into whatever you want to call it, 5.5 years ago. My sponsor and his very charming wife took us to our first meeting that very first night. I was confused and bewildered, and I didn't know what was there. I didn't know what these people were saying from the platform as they talked. As a matter of fact, I couldn't understand the English language at that point. But one thing was born that night, and that was hope. Hope for me. My husband, my sponsor, and his wife, we went to meetings 5, 6, 7 nights a week. Little by little, this program began to take on meaning. I feel that I have been a very fortunate alcoholic. Fortunate in one sense, that before I came to AA, I knew that I was an alcoholic. The second thing that I feel extremely fortunate about is that the very first night when my husband and I read the AA pamphlet, it seemed to me that that second step was saying directly to me, if you will believe in this program, God can return you to a normal, sane life. It made sense to me that way. AA has given me everything. It's given me back. While I didn't actually lose them physically, but I did emotionally, mentally, spiritually. It's given me back God. It's given me back my family, my children, my husband. But it's given me a great deal more than that. It's given me the ability to look at myself objectively, to accept myself with my limitations, and to perhaps to develop the God-given abilities that God has seen fit to bestow upon me. It's given me a little insight into myself. It's given me the right to live again with a sense of human dignity. It's given me the ability to look my face, myself, in the face, in the mirror. I'm very proud and I'm very happy that I'm a member of AA. These have truly been the happiest 5 years of my life. I have always felt that one of the strongest things that has really meant something to me since the very first month that I came into AA was our AA prayer. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thank you.